Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Club Cruise. I'm your host, Robert Norse, and with me tonight, a special treat, the indefatigable freedom fighter and court curmudgeon, Richard Quigley. Hey, Richard.
Well, what is that first word you used?
Indefatigable, or indefatigable, depending on who you talk to.
And exactly what have I been...
That means you're tireless.
Oh, there you go.
It sure does. You are a person who has, of course, spoken before on other issues around the court system here, and I don't usually let this happen, but you had a little anecdote that you wanted to begin with. I hope this is relevant to this particular, to our subject tonight.
Oh, are you talking about my disguise?
Perhaps that was it.
Wells Fargo Bank, yeah. You mentioned bringing my sunglasses today. It's a beautiful day, another beautiful day in Santa Cruz, of course, you know. But no... The reason I thought that was funny was I was in Wells Fargo Bank down in Aptos to cash a check one day. And I'm standing in line, and I generally stand when I get in line. I'll get away from the people in front of me because I'm sort of, you know, strange-looking character, and I can relate. I used to walk on the other side of the street from people that looked like me when I first came here. It's before I got the fever. Anyway, this woman walks up to me in the bank and tells me I have to take off my dark glasses. They have a policy against people wearing dark glasses, and I queried, you know, because there was a woman standing in line, two people in front of me that was rather short and had her dark glasses on. I said, does this only apply to tall men, or what's the thing, you know, or did that lady just tell you to blow it out your ass? I mean, and well, no, it's the hat.
This hat you're wearing.
Oh, yes. And, of course, by then I'd taken the glasses off because it's not in the spirit of cooperation, but I thought that she'd really like to see the disdain in my eyes, you know. Anyway, so they have a policy at the Wells Fargo Bank that, strangely enough, only applies to me because I've had several people run the experiment, and I'm the only one that was ever
approved. This has a familiar ring to it, actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, sure. So I'm down at my own bank yesterday, not the branch I trade with, but the same bank. And I walked all the way up to the teller with my hat and my glasses on, out of uniform for Wells Fargo, but okay with Bank of America. And I asked the lady at the counter when I was all done if they had any policies about wearing dark glasses in their bank. And she said, no. And she said, no, the only policies like that is that we don't allow masks, which just broke me up. I just said that. And thought the story was worth telling. Yeah, they don't want you to walk in the bank wearing a mask. But I wonder, if you did, do you think the bank manager would walk up to you and tell you to remove the mask? I mean, you get my drift?
I hear you.
If the lady had suspected I was going to rob her bank, I thought it was really stupid of her to walk up and tell me to take off my dark glasses. And if she didn't think I was there to rob the bank, what was the point in coming up to me and telling me to take off the dark glasses?
You know, well, for me, I find that this kind of shows me that a lot we're under a kind of inspection by cameras, the possibility of being harassed by police at any time, and particularly you're in this condition when you're in a vehicle. And I know that you and I had an interesting conversation about a recent Supreme Court decision, which I think is causing concern all over the country, and it's causing concern here in Santa Cruz as well. And I'm going to hold up for the camera actually two different articles. First one, which is right here in the New York Times, which concerns itself with the Atwater decision, which is a decision, of course, of a soccer mom and her kids in a car who were, well, they were stopped for not having their seat belts on in Texas. And actually the Sentinel itself, which usually doesn't cover this kind of stuff, also did a story on this. And they have a picture, and we're showing it now on the screen. And Not wearing a seatbelt, I think we can agree, is not a particularly serious crime. I mean, in fact, it shouldn't be a crime at all. And there was some debate, I guess, a decade or two ago when they made it a stoppable offense. It used to be an offense not to have your seatbelt, but you couldn't be stopped for it. Then they changed the law. You may remember that. So you can be, in California, you can be stopped for it. Now, this decision shocked me. Did it shock you?
Really?
I mean, this, I said,
really?
The Supreme Court decision was 5-4 that even minor offenses, it wasn't just that they stopped her for the seatbelt, it was that they handcuffed her, threatened to take her children and put them into presumably custodial care.
If the had not shown up while the two terrified children were screaming and crying, scared to death of these cops that were cuffing up their mom or this cop. Yeah, oh yeah, they would have gone to Child Protective Services. They did tow the vehicle she was in, and they did cuff her up and put her in jail. And they treated her in a manner that even sued her. The guy that wrote the opinion found as demeaning and
humiliating.
And humiliating. Interestingly, though, he took solace in the fact that there's not a widespread abuse of this particular
I remember
law.
That claim.
And I thought, what audacity. Of course, the reason there's not widespread abuse is because any good cop or caring police officer would never have done this in the first place. So, of course, there's not widespread abuse. They hadn't opened the floodgate. The reason that it hasn't been widespread abuse is because the Supreme Court hadn't come out and said that anything so ridiculous could be true.
Which they did.
Oh, yeah.
Which they now do.
Oh,
it's now
big
the
time.
Case.
Right. Big time, and there's the bells for alarm.
Well, let's be specific for the audience here. What exactly is this decision in terms of how it impacts us in California, Richard?
Okay. Well, first of all, I got to tell you that I'm not a lawyer, because some people get confused by that because I've read two books and remember what was in them. But in this particular statute that they were dealing with was a Texas statute. It's not a California statute. In fact, to my knowledge, it is the only statute of its kind in the United States, where they actually had in the statute that you could be arrested for a seatbelt violation by Texas law. Now, they don't have it in the statute that you can be arrested for speeding, but you could be arrested for the seatbelt law. So this was a test to find out whether or not such a law was violative of your protection, your Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable seizures.
And, because she was also searched by a male officer. That was another of her claims.
Sued her cop to the abuses. He said that she had been humiliated and all that.
And the fine for this law was $50, but she had to, essentially, it was a $310 bond she had to post, correct?
If anyone cares about this, they need to go get this opinion. This is one of those things that we're going to live with and our kids are going to live with for all time. Or at least until we get a new court, something's got to change. Because otherwise, particularly in California, our legislature, I promise you, right now, is drafting the bill that is going to allow these kinds of arrests and for non-jailable offenses. And when I say non-jailable offenses, in the dissent, which is why I recommend reading the opinion.
By Justice Sandra Day O'Connor.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, usually sits with these treasonous bastards and going along with everything they do.
You're speaking of Chief Justice Rehnquist, Scalia, and and Thomas.
Yeah, the guys that by all rights should have been, they're treason. It's treason. Anyway, O'Connor came back and wrote in essence, you guys got to be kidding. There's never been anything in any discussion this court has ever had or anyone that founded the laws on which this nation was founded that ever supported the theory that you could jail somebody for an accusation of a crime for which they could be convicted and not jail.
Because the seatbelt offense itself does not provide for jail, just for a fine.
Correct.
But they jailed her prior to the fine.
Correct.
Searched her, handcuffed her, threatened to take away her children, and then a bail, as we said, six times the maximum of the fine.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they added a bunch of other stuff in the meantime, though. That's how the bail got up there. Mm-hmm. You know. She probably wasn't sweet enough and respectful enough to the police officer. She had her purse stolen, and as the officer said, yeah, I've heard that story before. But she had her purse stolen, according to her testimony, a day or two earlier, so she didn't have her driver's license with her. They added that to it when they set the
but
bail.
But they had access to the DMV records that would have showed she was a licensed
driver.
Oh,
absolutely. No. It was abusive. Suitor said that what they did was unreasonable. He says, but even if it was unreasonable, it's not unconstitutional. And I read the Fourth Amendment, and I think what the Fourth Amendment says is that you're not supposed to be, it's not, oh, pardon me, he didn't say unreasonable. I take that back. What he said was the arrest may have been unnecessary.
He said, according to the Mercury News, that although Atwater had been subjected to gratuitous humiliations and pointless indignity, what happened to her did not violate the Fourth Amendment. He said that to, quote, mint a new rule of constitutional law would be to turn many ordinary arrests into occasions for constitutional litigation. Now, the dissent that you pointed out, that Sandra Day O'Connor said, we don't have it here, of course, at all, but we have a couple of quotes from it. She warned that such unbounded discretion for the police carries with it a grave potential for abuse. And she said that as the recent debate over racial profiling demonstrates all too clearly, and that's, of course, the practice of stopping people because of their color,
yes,
rather than because they're doing anything wrong.
Profiling.
A relatively minor traffic infraction may serve as an excuse, to wit, a broken taillight, let's say, for stopping and harassing an individual. This could be actually happening in Santa Cruz, even as we speak.
Watch.
Can you imagine?
And first of all, I need to point out that we're talking about arrest upon the allegation. You see, it's a strange world we live in where the police officer looks and sees and says, you're not wearing a seatbelt and you're sitting there with your seatbelt on, but his word is that you're not, and so he now can arrest you. And it's getting to the point where it was in Nazi Germany. In California, I'm telling you, California is going to jump on this decision like a dog on a bone.
At the present time, are you saying, though, that in California, if you aren't wearing a seatbelt, you still cannot be arrested? You can be charged. Can you be taken in a custodial arrest in California?
No, there's no foundation for it. They've got to try to add something, as you know. You've been to jail many times on non-arrestable offenses. Well, what they do is they throw in interfering with an officer in the performance of his duties. They neglect to point out that they're not lawful duties. They may be politically supported, but they're not lawful duties. But they will arrest you on that because it's a misdemeanor and jailable offense. The same thing with refusals. If they can get you to refuse, are you refusing to do that? Are you refusing to do that?
And obstructing an officer.
Yeah, obstructing an officer, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so they jump these things up so they can arrest you.
Now, at the same time that this is happening, in the county of Santa Cruz, you and Kate Wells and others have been able to successfully get the system to begin to apply the take me to a magistrate procedures. Can you briefly explain what those are and how this might relate?
Yes, and I'm not sure how it's going to relate, particularly in Santa Cruz. We'll find out statewide, but And the vehicle code and somewhere in the penal code, I'm sure. But the principle is, Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution says that people are by nature free and independent and have certain inalienable rights. That's the setup. That's your status. Every time that you deal with these people, when I'm talking about these people, I'm talking about anyone that approaches you and claims some sort of authority over you.
Such as a police officer.
Yes. What is your status and what is his? Status is everything.
So the police officer stops you and says, excuse me, Mr. Quigley, you weren't wearing your seatbelt. Can you please sign this citation? There'll be no requirement that you go to court. I mean, there's a requirement to go to court. It's a promise to appear, but you're not admitting your guilt. Please sign this.
Probably the wrong way to go for reasons that are too complicated to get into here. But because what you're describing is vehicle code stuff, and vehicle code stuff is part of a contract that you signed when you took the license that allows them to do the disregard a whole lot of things.
Well, let's say your taillight is out, Mr. Quigley.
Same thing. It's all vehicle code stuff.
Right, but what I'm saying is, but do you not now have a different option than you had before? Before, you had to either sign it and then, you know, that you could go to a court date.
You're talking about the 40302, take me to the magistrate.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm trying to do the setup on that, because the setup on that is that status is everything. As a free and natural person, when somebody decides that they're going to alter that status, it's the same thing as if they're reaching in your pocket and taking out money. It's a theft. It's a theft of your liberty. So you have a right upon the occasion of that proposed interference in your liberty to demand a second opinion, as it were.
So again, let's take this case. The officer says, hey, you haven't got your seatbelt on?
For the sake of this discussion.
Yes.
for the sake of this discussion, mm-hmm. the officer stops me, and let's say it's a helmet ticket, because they do have a hard time with my helmet, or at least did.
That is your helmet, right?
Well, yeah, sure.
What you're wearing right there.
Yeah.
We're not talking about in a car. We're talking about on a motorcycle.
Motorcycle. Okay. My primary means of transportation.
Right.
Okay, so they stop, and they don't understand what a helmet is, and so now they want to claim that this is not a helmet, and they want to write me a ticket. According to the vehicle code, you have a right to demand to be taken to a magistrate. And what that is for is to allow you to protect your status.
Now that does not mean, let's clarify, doesn't mean you have a right to be saying, take me down, book me, and in 2 days I get to go before a judge.
No, no.
That's different, right?
No, it's absolutely different.
Tell me the difference.
Well, first of all, this is an infraction. Mm-hmm. Since it's an infraction, it's not a jailable offense, and prior to this decision, and as the law still stands in California, can't be arrested for an offense for which you cannot be sentenced to jail. So, but he's going to issue you this ticket. And the short way to get that handled is to return your status to its upright position, which is a free and natural person. You demand to be taken to a magistrate for a probable cause as to the arrest, a hearing of probable cause as to the arrest.
And this will be within a few hours, right?
No, directly.
Directly.
Without unnecessary delay. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the court cases on that indicate that there's no pat-down search unless the officer has a reasonable suspicion that you have weapons. There is, for all intents and purposes, they're supposed to let you get in your car or on your motorcycle, and they'll follow you down to the courthouse.
So we're not talking about cuffing you?
No handcuffs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Most certainly you don't go to the jail unless that's where the magistrate is. Now, if the magistrate's at the jail, they can take you to the magistrate at the jail, but other than that, you have no business on that side of the street.
So theoretically, they should take you simply to the courthouse, where you would go before a judge, and then what would happen?
Well, in my case, I'd move for a probable cause hearing. Why is this guy arresting me? And then he's got to put up the stuff. He's got to show that judge by what authority.
I saw this man without a seatbelt. I saw this man with this strange hat on.
But you can't arrest somebody for a violation for which, upon conviction, he can't be jailed. So now the judge has got a problem, doesn't he? It's a false arrest. If you'd have committed a misdemeanor in that officer's presence.
Well, wouldn't the officer say, I'm not arresting you, I'm simply taking you per your request to a magistrate first?
No, that's not the way it goes down.
So in essence, that's an arrest, even as he takes you to a magistrate.
Well, but you need to set it up. You see, it all happens in the setup. Yes, officer, how can I help you? You're not wearing your seatbelt. Well, with great respect, what business is that of yours? Well, vehicle code such and such and so says that you're supposed to wear a seatbelt. Yeah, well, what makes you think I'm a person bound to the vehicle code? I mean, they got a lot of ways to go dealing with a free and natural person.
Right.
Okay? The problem for the greater community is that not enough people are prepared to recognize in themselves their natural right to liberty. They feel like they are, in fact, in the charge of the government.
Have you yourself used this approach here in this county and said, take me to a magistrate?
Sure.
And when did this last happen?
It was 2 years ago.
And what happened?
End result?
What were the circumstances on that day?
That was Dave Devereaux trying to keep me from parking in his parking place down at the Laptop Shopping Center.
Sergeant Devereaux of the deputy sheriffs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so he come up and he started bugging me. He wanted to see my license and registration. I'd already parked my vehicle and was going into a business.
You're talking about parking in a space that he himself had painted red, right?
Yeah, he followed me from there.
Right.
And he followed me into the village, and I pulled into a parking lot, and then he kind of pulled in somewhere around there, and he got out of his car and hollered at me that he wanted to see my license and registration. Mm-hmm. And I turned around and looked at him. I said, well, what the fuck for? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you were doing 35 and a 25, and I heard your license is suspended. And I says, well, even if any of that were true, what business is it of yours?
Well, he's a police officer, and he wants to enforce the law.
Well, he needs to explain that. I know what my status is. I'm a free and natural person.
So what did he say?
Well, he, not knowing what to say, he went back to demanding to see these documents again. And so I asked him if I was under arrest because, you know, he's starting to get a little assertive now. And so I'm thinking, well, since I'm not his property, where does he get this from? You know, because mm-hmm. he's bigger than me. He's going to beat me up. I mean,
he's got a gun, a radio, and a bunch of people behind him.
So I say, well, am I under arrest? Mm-hmm. And he kind of looks at me with his blank look on his face and asks me again whether or not I'm going to give him these documents. And I said, now, I'm going to do this for you real slow, because I know you're not real bright, Sergeant. Am I under arrest? And I just stood there and looked at him. And his temple is just pounding. And you can see he's gnashing his jaw, his cheekbones are puffing. And the next thing out of his mouth, and it took a bit, was, yes. And when he said that, I threw both hands straight up in the air. And as loud as I could with my big boy voice, I hollered, "Don't shoot!" And I commenced to begin to draw a crowd. Because I didn't know what this crazy sumbitch was doing arresting me. I hadn't done anything. And now I'm under arrest. So in the middle of hollering, "Don't shoot," I demand to be taken to a magistrate. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. No reason not to take me to a magistrate. Mm-hmm. Well, being the intellectual giant that he is, and having never been instructed to follow the law, much less what the law was, he loads me up in a car and hauls me off to jail.
In handcuffs?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I mean, you know, they only know one way to make an arrest. So after 9 hours down there where they kind of laughed off my habeas corpus petition and threw it in the trash and put up with my yelling and screaming at everybody that came close to me. It was a pretty intense 9 hours. I mean, I am a cigarette junkie. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see my dark side, you take away cigarettes for 9 hours. And I promise you, a demon is the kindest thing you'll find to say. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I was a little bit out there by the time they finally let me out of jail. And I went back and I tried to get it fixed, but the only way I could fix it was with a habeas corpus. And I tried to quash all the evidence they have obtained and get my fingerprints back and all the stuff off this false arrest.
Were you charged with anything?
Oh, yeah.
And were you convicted?
Yeah, ultimately.
You were charged with?
Driving while my license was suspended. They never had to prove it was suspended, by the way. They never did.
So
all they had to prove was what the DMV record said.
This is a colorful story, Richard, but are we to learn that all your, you know, dramatic protestations simply resulted in a conviction?
Yeah.
And so what's the lesson for the average citizen? Just, you know, act like a lunatic and you'll get taken to court and jailed and you'll be on your record? I mean...
Well, you know, I don't know what the lesson is for the average citizen. I can tell you what I learned.
Yeah.
What I learned is that when you're dealing with the courts in Santa Cruz County, it's personality and politics, the plain language of the statutes notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm asking you is... you're saying that the plain language of the statute should have protected you.
Oh, absolutely.
But did not.
Well, no, the courts did. The statute still protected me. Now, the courts never recognized it.
And I guess
it.
What we need to do is look into that. But what I'm trying to find in this kind of situation here is because I've seen homeless activists who have been arrested on bogus charges. Mm-hmm. And, of course, homeless people at night have this anti-homeless law, the sleeping ban, that results in their being arrested just for sleeping after 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the more compassionate crimes generated by the Santa Cruz City Council's answer to the... Liberal fascism at its best.
Well, it's not a good thing. Let's put it that way. And the question is, how do we deal with it in court? And I guess I had hoped that this take me to a magistrate defense might be one way to go with this kind of a law. And I don't know. It sounds like, however, that you're suggesting even if it is provided for now, I've seen the booking sheets, and they say, have you been given your opportunity to be taken to a magistrate? And you've told me that indeed the sheriffs and the court system are setting up a process by which you can be taken to a magistrate.
And I should have some paperwork on that in the next few weeks, they tell me, because they're going to set up a program. I'll bet you a quarter to a dime they won't comply with the law. I'll show you the statutes that regulate what they can do. I'll bet you a quarter to a dime it don't comply with the law.
Well, we know that in other jurisdictions, like people like B.E. Smith have been successfully able to use this to, in fact, deter the kinds of what sounded like Sergeant Devereaux made a harassing stop on you. That was your claim.
Sure.
Now, we're reaching the end of the show. We only have about 2 minutes left.
Oh, you're kidding.
Now, unfortunately, I'm not. I wish we had more time.
We didn't get anything that you wanted to do done.
Well, we got I think, some interesting introduction to take me to a magistrate, which I hope will eventually provide some education on the issue. But what I want to say is, for those who want more information about this whole situation, you have a website, I believe.
Yeah, it's not on there. What they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get a hold of you. When I get the documents from the court, as they set up this, take it to the magistrate
procedure. It'll be on your website. Right.
It won't be on my website, but it will be made available to you.
Okay. Then for those who are interested, they can get in touch with Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which will provide you with some information on that. The phone number is 423-HUFF or 423-4833. Richard?
Yeah, the problem is that it's not my website.
No, I understand. No,
I just maintain it. I would put it up there if it were my choice. But,
sure.
But I will make it available, and we can even make a web address for it for one of your future shows when I do, because I'm going to do a critique on this whole thing with the help of Kate.
And also, I know we are following the subject on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM, which is a pirate station, but one that nonetheless has broad local coverage, yeah. Santa Cruz. And people can tune into my show every Thursday from 6 to 8 in the evening and every Sunday from 11 to 1:30. And they might hear you there occasionally as we attempt to get through this rather murky area, which I really kind of apologize to the audience for not getting into it more deeply. But we have seen that the Atwater decision
is
really serious stuff.
Yeah, people need to get to the law library, ask Pat Kramer for a copy of the case, read the case front and back. Don't take my word, don't take your word. Sit there and read that abomination for themselves.
And I think that we need to find a way eventually here in Santa Cruz to make sure that the courts not just obey the law, but obey the Constitution, which is the higher law as well in this situation. So I thank you for coming on the show. We have, as usual, it's too little time to deal with really complex issues. And for those who want to, you know, to follow it further, please do give a call to the Huff line, as it should be up there, and also to Free Radio Santa Cruz, where we can cover it at greater length.
And if they see me on the street, I don't mind people stopping me and asking me about
this. And if they see you on
the
street,
really
just don't arrest you.
Yeah,
see you
said,
on the street.
That might be.
And that's it for this edition of Bathrop Spear's Broadsides, including the flashbacks. I think we're doing good. Check us out next week on Thursday if we aren't exhausted or on vacation. I'll be talking to you again, and we'll see where that goes. And you can also check older shows on the Huff website at Latest and Lost Shows. Sorry for the jerky and somewhat fragmented and also sort of long stretches of uncommentaried discussion, which are useful as documents, but perhaps not as airworthy as they might be. But, well, maybe you listen to them. Enjoy, and I'll be with you again, perhaps. You take care. Anything between times, give me a call on the Huff line, 831-423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.